Is that your one?
Oh, hello, Bob. Yes, it's me, yeah. You haven't looked for those two little books then about the railways?
Well, no.
Oh, well, anyway. So what were you... You were mixed up in them somehow, weren't you? You know, you did some work on them.
Yes, I helped to maintain the small... Yeah, the Edison, I think it was the Edison type, wasn't it? That small, that little square job.
Oh, yes.
They were the tractors of the time, right up till 1940.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's a picture on one of the books on the front page, isn't it? That's yeah. Isn't it? Going under the river.
About 1940, the yeah, the book says 40, 41 when they brought the new ones in.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're about right.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Was that actually, was it electric or it looks like a some sort of diesel on the...
Well, that's what I said to you last night, yeah. Rhonda. I never heard anybody down there ever talk about those.
No.
Mm. You know, they never talked about, you know, the single-cylinder Ruston engine type they have, rather heavy-looking thing called your bitches.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talked about them.
Oh.
In other words, nobody ever knew they existed.
No.
Now, isn't that strange?
Yes. Well, I was only in there, you know, during the war from about 39 to 43, and I never saw anything like that.
No.
The only ones I ever saw were small electric ones.
I'm saying, when I went there as an apprentice in 36,
yeah.
The ones that were there with the little square job, BVR, they were, the Edison. The Edison ones.
Yeah.
What we did, what was done in the Millwright shop then, in 1937, 38, they enlarged the batteries. The knife batteries were enlarged.
Uh-huh.
So they made new steel boxes, you know, to fit on the tractors, you know, larger ones, to take the next size battery, the new design knife battery.
Oh, yeah.
Which give
you longer running time and all that.
Which give it a longer running time. Yeah. Oh, yes, they were quite a bit bigger than the original ones.
Because they'd run right through to the south side.
They used to run through the south side. I understand that they just managed to make it. When they got back...
On the battery.
On the battery. Oh, yeah. Whether they give them a boost at Guncotton End on the south side, I don't know. But we used to have one leave the Millwright shop every morning with stores, you know, to go to the south side.
Oh, yeah.
And he just, as far as I remember, he just about used to get back. Well, he used to get back to the shop and then get back to the charging building, which is also shown in your book.
Oh, yes. That was by the refinery gate.
The pair of doors at the front.
Yeah,
that was the charging shed, and then it was in use when I was down there.
Oh, that's it.
Pre-war.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was up to, your book says everything was finished in 52, 53, 54, about that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Were they around the actual factory, they were pushed by hand, weren't they? They wouldn't be, the motors didn't go outside the danger buildings, did they? The electric ones, would they be used?
Yes, they used to run, the track used to run, you know, like outside of the buildings, very close, quite close to the outside buildings,
yeah.
And they were perfectly safe. There was never any account of any risk.
Oh, no, so they used to use them up and all through the north site?
Yes, they used them pretty close, but I believe finally they used to push the trucks. They had handrails on them for pushing, you know.
I used to see the blokes pushing the trucks.
That's right. They used to push them up to the final doorway, or the veranda, as they called it, the red board veranda.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and there's another thing that never been mentioned, is the motor launch that they acquired during the war.
Oh, yes.
Does anybody know anything about that?
No.
Well, a large launch was acquired about 1940-41, you know, to go to Woolwich Reach from the Thames, Lee, up to Bow Creek and then on the Thames. That was quite a nice big launch. That was a motor-driven
engine. Petrol or something.
It was diesel. Four-cylinder diesel.
Oh, yeah.
And it was put up for auction about 1954 and sold on the site.
Oh,
for auction.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah, so I had a friend go down there to bid on my behalf, funnily enough.
Oh, yeah.
He went for about $850, and we only went up to $500.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lovely boat.
You'd like to tinker with that, wouldn't you? Yeah,
and it was all lined, you know, with match boarding. It was all lined,
yes.
The inside was all beautifully and smooth.
Cool.
No cracks or anything, so as the exposed dust could get in, or the cordite dust. Yes, and that was sold the same time as the Lady of the Lee. That was auctioned.
Yeah. Mm.
That was auctioned down there.
In about 54,
about 53, 54, I can imagine that was. Yeah.
Oh.
And so I was back down there then, of course, after the war. Yeah, and the other one, I don't know what happened to the other barge. The that was the Edward the Seventh.
Oh, was that the name of that?
King Edward the Seventh. That was the other barge, sailing barge.
Oh.
That was, I believe, that took water earlier on, about 1947-48, and I believe it was patched up and it was taken away, and whether it was ever salvaged or not, I don't know.
Oh, was it a sailing barge?
They were sailing barges, the Lady of the Lee and the Edward the Seventh.
Oh.
Yeah, and they used to be moored at Southside, outside the Boar House.
Oh, yes, well,
On that stream.
On the cut.
Yeah, that cut that was still there, I should imagine. That leads up to that swing bridge. And they used to find their way out onto the canal from there, of course.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Yes. Did you ever maintain the work on the engines at all of the railway?
Yes. I worked on that little, the smaller one I mentioned, Edison and Bell, they're straight gears, they were straight gear driven right through.
Oh, yes.
A little straight gear was on the motor.
Yeah.
And that worked the large gears on the two axles.
Oh, yeah.
And that centre gear used to wear quite rapidly.
Oh, yes. Well, it was like the engine would, motor would...
It was about think the voltage, you're about right when it says in the book, about 45 volts.
Yeah.
You see, those knife cells, as you know, are only 1.2 volt each. See? So you haven't got a lot of voltage.
Oh, yeah.
But they used to, those gears, that little centre gear on the motor, used to last about a year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that used to be worn as thin as very thin,
Yeah.
And used to clank and groan they did when they wore. They used to last about 12 months.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And also, we did skim the wheels up on the Lark. I remember about three of them tractors being overhauled.
Yeah.
And they had the wheels put in the lathe, the big lathe they had in there. And the wheels were skimmed.
Steel wheels, were they?
Yeah, they were steel wheels,
bronze tyres.
They were on cast iron, inners.
Oh, yes.
And they were steel tyres.
Oh, yeah.
They were quite hard as well, I tell you.
Oh.
If I remember rightly, they were quite tough. The old lathe groaned when it was, like making the shape, like improving the angle, as they call it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that was done in the Big Moorite shop. North side, of course.
Oh, how would the locomotive be got from the track on into the millwright shop? Was there a siding or something, or was it lifted off and sort of pushed in?
They used to get them off the track quite easily. They had timbers in between the tracks, and they would just have big levers, just wooden pinch bars with a steel tip. As I remember.
Oh, yes.
And they used to sort of twist them off the rails onto the wood that was in between.
Oh, I've seen these levers. A long wooden shaft with a metal shoe on the bottom.
And the heavy gang would sort of, it would roll into the shop quite easily. They used to push it in. Well, I suppose if the power was still on, they would power drive it.
Oh, I suppose you could, of course, they got their own batteries, they could be driven on the wheels.
And they used to stand in the shop, the little old thing would stand there in the shop, and they would strip it down.
I see.
I'm trying to think of the name of the electrician that used to look after them.
Yeah.
I can't just think of his name. A little old man with a great big moustache, great big walrus moustache he had at the time.
Oh, yes.
And we used to make the switch gear in the shop, you know.
Yeah.
The actual switch used to burn out a lot.
Oh, the control switch?
The control switch. It was like a tumbler switch, and it had these copper pads, and they used to burn out. And that was a standing job to make new pads, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a job.
Well, that be, you know, they'd be copper pads or something like that, would they?
Yes, they were little copper plates, and they'd be screwed on this big block of Tufnel.
Oh, yeah.
And it would only turn about half a turn.
Yes.
It was a stage, a sort of a simple stage type switch, just to bring in resistance.
You get two or three speeds.
You get two or three resistance bars.
Resistances, oh, yeah.
Built in the chassis somewhere.
Yeah.
Just to check the sudden rush of current, I suppose.
Oh,
they were a very simple thing.
Yeah.
And the other ones, the ones with the covered top, the new ones we had, you know, they were worm drive, you know, on the axle. They were worm driven, and I believe they was fitted with a motor for each axle.
Yeah.
I don't think there was one motor. I think it was a pair of motors.
Yeah.
On those.
Oh, what? It was a worm drive, not a spur gear. Like it was a worm drive from the motor onto the driving axle.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were a nice job, and we never did, we done very little to them. In fact, I don't remember ever any repairs at all. We might have been some brakes that was just checked. I think they were fitted with brakes.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I remember, the other little old thing wasn't fitted with brakes. But the big rail car that it used to pull, the eight-wheeler, I think that had a brake.
Oh,
I'm not sure about the brakes on it, Ron, but I can't remember seeing brakes on the little Edisons.
Oh, no, they just let the motor sort of
they just,
slap against
they
the motor.
They just slung it in reverse, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Well, like the old trams, I understand that the town trams, you know, when they were braking, they used to use them, turn the motors into dynamos. We switch them across, they turn them into dynamos, and then the action of braking actually put juice back into the line. The trams will become dynamos.
Well, become generators.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, because all that theory business, I don't go on that much. I wouldn't think it would make any difference.
No.
No, I think once the juice is... leaves the power supply and it's reaching the motors. And I mean,
that's it. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's as far as you'd be. It wouldn't push much back in. Not that I could fathom out.
No. Well, of course, not for. It might on a big tramway system, a whole city.
Yeah, you'd have a surge back, perhaps, but I don't think it would. It wouldn't mean nothing.
It wouldn't I think it was mainly as a form of braking.
Yeah.
Not to actually...
They could use it to brake. But then again, I think trams had braking. They had a band brake.
Yeah, and they also had magnetic brakes that grabbed the rails. Do you remember those?
That's right. I've heard of them. I think I must have seen them. But I think the ones we had on this route here, on the Hartford Road, Wharton Cross route,
they were
quite a good tram, and they had the pads that, you know, that went on to the same the same as the locos, you know.
Yeah, it's curved shoe that fitted onto the wheels. Oh,
and I believe also they had band brakes on the motor shafts.
Oh, yes.
On the shaft and the motor had a band.
Oh, yeah.
There was a disc. It was a flat top disc thing.
Yes.
More like a disc brake.
Yes. Well, and of course, another thing they had was, which these days they haven't bothered with, so now they're in trouble, was a sanding thing. The driver could bash up and down on a pedal during bad weather and shoot a bit of sand under the wheels. I remember doing that in Walthamstow.
Yeah, that's right. They were fitted with sandboxes.
Yes, and of course, nowadays they don't. So what happens? As soon as the leaves get on the line, they skid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you'll find on the tramway system, sand is only used where there's ice and snow, you know.
Yes,
at least down here, I don't know about up the north.
But the steam locomotives used to have sand.
That's right. They used to have sand.
Of course, they've done away with it now,
pipe,
and now they're in trouble.
Yeah, so don't use sand on any locomotives now. And I didn't notice any on the electric locomotives or the diesel locomotives.
No.
I didn't know.
Oh, well,
no.
It's very interesting, Bob. Yeah. What you've been telling me, and
I can see, you know, why, you know, they want to, you know, whether they are thinking about having a little track down there again.
Yes.
It would be, some of the lay if it. You just plonk it down.
They're going to lay track for this little railway they want to put in, aren't they? Mm. They're going to put a little railway in the north side, aren't they?
Well, they're talking about it, yeah.
Oh, and it's easy enough to, once you get the track, it's not difficult to get it down, I suppose. As you say, it's...
Yeah, well, what sort of gauge did they think of having in?
They've got three or four trucks at the main gate.
Yeah.
Standing there, moored up. Just tied up on the one side, and it looks about the same gauge actually.
About the same gauge as what they used to use there, you know, before. Yeah,
yeah.
About 18 inch.
About 18 inch gauge.
Yeah,
yes.
But that's a nice gauge.
Yeah.
You can go smaller.
Yes.
You know, like a model, you'd be getting on a model railway stuff then.
Oh yes.
See, but 18 is commercial. 18 would have been a commercial gauge.
Well, I bet you'd like to come down there and look when the locomotives haven't arrived yet.
Oh.
But when they do, I'll give you the tip.
Yeah, okay,
we'll be able to come down and see them. We'll pop down and have a look at them.
What sort of thing were they thinking of buying?
I've no idea. The things they've got now, they've got three carriages there.
Yeah.
And they look as though, you know, they look a bit like the old things down South End Pier, toast rack passenger things. They're not goods hauling. The idea is that that people can get in them and be taken for a short run up and down the track, you know, inside the factory.
Mm.
But it sounds a good idea.
Yeah,
fact,
it would have to be like a little 4x4 diesel.
I should think so, something
engine.
Like that. Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't have the petrol.
No,
it wouldn't be no good.
No, of course they got no. Otherwise, they'd have to have electric batteries. Well, they'd be going down all the time, wouldn't they?
They'd have to have some sort of a diesel.
And, of course, they can't... things like Southend and Brighton and Blackpool pick up their own juice off the lines.
With old folks roll out Brighton. The old folks, you know...
Folks, that's right.
Folks, right. It's still there, you know.
Yes, that's right, yes.
It's a very wide gauge.
Yeah, it is a wide one. It goes runs right along towards Seaford or something.
That's
like that.
Right, along the cliffs of Rottingdean.
Yeah, it's
in very long. It's about half a mile long, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think it's any longer.
I sort of had a ride in it a few
years
ago.
Yeah, and it's electric tram. It's about 3 foot gauge, you know.
I understand they got some of their Brighton got the trucks, the old trains from Southend Pier. Nothing's pier now.
In that case, then they've made the gauge. They've had to make the gauge for that then, because the original bulks, the trucks and the train itself or the loco, that was wide, but the Southend Pier railway.
That's right. That's not,
I would
that's
say that was it? Bigger than 18. It could have been bigger than 18.
Yes, I think it's bigger than that, but not. As
but
you
not
say,
a lot.
Not as wide as the Volks. Volks would be wider than that, wouldn't it?
It was about a 3 foot gauge.
Oh yeah.
Big clumsy old coaches they were.
Yeah.
They always looked at me as if they were sort of foreign sort of.
Yes.
Always struck me as if they were foreign designed and the name Volks didn't help.
No, well, I think that railway was supposed to be one of the first electric railways ever in the country.
It could have been, yeah.
So that's what I was seeing in the Canon magazine or somewhere already, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well, if they got something going down there, it'd be handy, you know, to run the people around.
Yeah, so it'd be a bit of fun. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I'd like to see any develop like that now and there. Yeah. As I say, the track, you know, you're going to have to put a bit of ballast down, or that crushed concrete is a modern thing for sort of hardcore, you know.
Crushed
concrete, they call it. It's different grades. You can get a fine grade.
Yeah.
So you've only got to lay a bit of, you know, some of that down and put and the track would lay straight on that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because the old track, they were pressed steel sleepers, you know.
Oh,
They were pressed steel. There was wood where there was verandas. When the trap used to climb up, used to have to climb to the height of the verandas, that was all wooden. And so like that, then the tracks did actually go on the wood. And track might have been stapled to the wooden crossbars, you know.
Well, I noticed that in one or two of the buildings up top end when I was wandering around, that just outside the very doors where they actually go in, they were actually wooden rails.
Wooden rails, that's right.
I've
seen them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were wooden rails, yeah. That's right.
So,
they would be made of teak or mahogany, I think. I don't think they went any harder than that.
No.
Yeah, I've actually seen them, yeah.
Oh, well, then, okay then, Bob. Well, thanks a lot, mate.
So I've added a little bit of mine to you.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, you put a bit more onto the record.
And I'm still on my own steam locomotive.
I must get down and see that.
In my 3.5-inch gauge.
You're working on that.
Yes. I'm working on that still, yeah. It's been a long...
Tell us, what model was it? I've forgotten what pattern it was.
Well, it was called William. It's a 262 tank engine.
Yeah,
engine. It's almost finished now.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a little bit of pipe work to do on it.
Yeah,
so I should be having a trial run soon.
Oh, that's great.
Hopefully. And I might fix a bit of rail up here myself.
Yeah.
You know, my own track up here.
What gauge would it be?
Three and a half,
yeah.
Yeah, it's quite. I would never have made it if I'd have known the facts that I know now. The facts that I know now is that they're a bit harder to steam. It's a small boiler, you see.
Yes.
Or a small firebox with 3.5-inch gauge. See, the next size up is 5-inch. See, and they're quite easy to fire.
Oh, yes.
You know, the fire doesn't fade
too
quick.
Yes, if a fire's too small, it just doesn't work, does it? It's got to be beyond a certain size, a coal fire.
That's right. If they get too small, you have to keep picking them about with a little rod and... stoking them and, you know, stirring them up.
It just doesn't work, does it?
That's right. It just doesn't work. You're right, because you've got a little tiny coal fire in a mass of metal, and it can't...
It cools it all down, I suppose.
That's right. It can't contain itself as a furnace, you know.
Yeah.
But when you get the 5-inch gauge locomotive, the furnace area becomes quite... bigger, about, you know, the size of a big fist or two sizes of fists, mine is only more or less like a bloody big matchbox, you know.
So
there is a difference, you see.
Yes. That's great.
And of course, they run these locomotives up the Chingford railway track, up the park there, you know.
Yes, on the Ridgeway Park.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yes, that's a very, that's a flourishing little club.
Yeah, that's very old up there now, you know. They've been there for about 40, 50 years, you know.
Yes.
And they've just finished the 7.25 stretch of track.
Yeah.
Which is the biggest gauge up there. That's a fair size gauge, you know, the model.
Have you ever been along there? Do you ever get to the Ridgeway Club? Have you ever been in there?
The club at Chingford?
Yes.
Well, I know, I've got a friend that is in the club, you know.
Oh, yes.
But I know quite a few up there.
Yeah.
And I do pop up there now and again and just have a chat around.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never joined because, I thought I was a bit too old. They do want younger people.
Well, it's
up
a long way to come each time, isn't it? It's not like as if you lived all that near.
That's right. Well, that was one of the biggest troubles. I lived too far away, really, to go up.
It's nice to be out near enough just to pop up in the evening.
See, on a Sunday afternoon ain't too bad, and that during the summer. But come the winter, you know, you don't have to turn out, nothing. But if you go to the meetings...
Yeah.
You know, like at night time in the hall, they've got a hall where they meet. You know, St Edmund's Hall.
Yes.
They go to, and that's midweek.
Yeah.
So they like you to come, and you know, to show your face anyway.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure that I would be able to turn up very regular.
Yeah.
So I've never really joined. But
no, it's nice to occasional visit in the midsummer, you know,
yeah,
when it's a long day, isn't
that's
it?
Right.
So,
it's quite good up there.
Yeah,
But I should have joined it. Really, I should have joined it. It makes, if you're making a locomotive, it helps.
Yes, that's right. You can you can swap opinions and even bits and pieces, I suppose,
that's
more
right.
Available.
That's right. You'd be surprised what bits and pieces people have got.
Yes.
And they can help you, you see, with any little query. And if you ain't sure what you're looking at on a drawing, you know, because some of the drawings are a little bit... Well, the thing is, you don't quite follow it, and if you ask one of them, you see, they can put you right.
Of course,
right.
It's always best to have a second opinion.
Comes easy, you see. Comes easy. You don't have to study too much.
I am.
But I never did join, see, so I've made it pretty hard work for myself.
Yes,
because I've got it alone, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I remember. Do you remember the last time when I saw you? You went down to the The Pickett's Lock. Didn't you remember that?
I saw you down there once, yeah.
Yes.
It's on again this year.
Yes.
For the last time, I think.
Oh, is it?
Because you know it's going to be pulled down, aren't you?
Oh, is it? What, that...
That big hall.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
You know the big
that.
Complex we went in?
Yeah.
That's all coming down.
Oh, Christ.
That's all finished. We heard they're going to build a great big sport, you know, I mean, trust them to get some bloody thing in this sports business.
Oh,
it's going to be a great big sports stadium.
Oh,
so that's on its last year.
Mind you,
they might get another year's reprieve, but the talk is that it's on its last.
Could be. Oh well, I must try and get down there this time then.
So I might make an effort and try if I can get the dates right.
Yeah, when is it usually? It's early January or something, isn't it?
I believe there was one in the summertime, and there's another one. There's one coming up the next month, I think.
Oh, is it? Oh, yes. Oh,
If I get to know, I'll let you know.
Yeah, okay, Bob, yeah.
This friend of mine, he's up on all that.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, just for the sake of going and looking
on.
Yes,
that's right.
I'm not buying anything these days now.
No. You get so much stuff around, you just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I've got the engine nearly done now, and I've got this machinery that I made it on, and I should be getting rid of that soon.
You know,
I've got my lathes.
Yeah.
And I should be disposing of them shortly, I expect, because I don't use them a lot.
No,
it's a shame. Yeah. And I've still got the old timer lathe, the very ancient old one.
Yes.
So if the factory wanted a museum piece.
Yeah, it's a very early one, isn't it?
It's a very early lathe, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because it's identical to the ones that we had down there.
I'll
have to be honest about it. It didn't come from there, but
no. There's
no reason why we shouldn't say that it did come from there. I bought it off the scrap load.
Right. Nobody knows the difference, yes.
Yeah. But it's still working order.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it works beautifully.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know where you saw it when you come up my place.
Yes, I did
you
see
saw it,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, it's a nice old lathe.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yes,
He hasn't got all the refinements on it, of course.
No, but anyway, next time I'll go down there most weeks or so. I'll mention it to them
if they're interested in having a lathe installed in a workshop down there or in a museum, and it could be run.
Right, yeah.
It could be under power.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And anybody could just show visitors. They could show the visitors how that was worked at that time of day, you know.
Well, but how many people, like the youngsters and all, they've never seen a lathe actually working, you know. It'd be nice to sort of have something that you can, it might even turn up reading lamps or something like that, you know, if you're going to use even a bit of wood turning or something.
You can do wood turning on it, yes. You see, the modern lathe, well, like, is the auto lathe.
Yes.
You see, they used to be, you know, like the mechanical type of auto. Now, of course, as you know, they're electronic auto.
Yeah.
What they call them now, there's a title for them. But basically, they're high-speed, automatic, electronic-controlled lathe.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that they're designed to run and turn the stuff out quickly, you know, so they have to run at speed, which means oil and suds to keep the tools sharp and the work accurate. Then they have to be hooded in, they have to be shrouded in, you see, to stop the spray
coming all
to
over
stop
the
all the spray of the oils coming away from the machine.
Yeah.
Therefore, when you look at a lathe now, you just look at a square tin box.
Oh yes.
There's no belt on that. You can't, you know, you can't see nothing.
Oh yes.
It's inside the box.
Oh, I see.
Well, you can if you look through the window.
Yes.
There's like a window.
Oh yeah.
See? And you can hear it clonking away inside. Of course.
Yeah.
See?
Oh yes.
Well, because that is production laser. I will have to say that. Mm. You know, the ordinary laser is still used in the tool room. They still make tool room lasers.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that you saw down the factory.
Oh, yes.
Tool room lasers.
Yeah.